Thank you for downloading this Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire podcast. And as a special thank you for you, we've got a special deal just for you. Beer 52 shipped themed monthly boxes of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious exclusive craft beer selected to your preferences and the award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack using our code PROPER at beer52.com. So you get 8 exclusive hand-selected beers this month. It's Norwegian craft beers. The 100-page Ferment magazine and a snack, free next-day delivery and flexible monthly subscription. All that for £14 in your first month at beer52.com. Really looking forward to the draw, which comes up later this afternoon. Castleford are in there. Wakefield are in there. Featherstone are in there. If only they'd merged. Hull FC in there as well, as they absolutely hammered the Catalan Dragons on Friday night. And Salford are in there, of course, who beat Hull Kingston Rovers in that repeat of the £1 million game, as was mentioned a million times before that game this weekend. Let's head back to Headingley. Craig Murdoch's still there. Gary Schofield's gone off to hold court, as he's his wont to do. And I think he's content with having an audience of millions and millions listening on Radio Yorkshire that he has to individually treat to the spectators at Headingley, to his words of wisdom. But thankfully, Craig's much more intelligent and articulate. And he's still with us there at the back of the stand at Headingley this afternoon. Barrow, I understand, only turned up about 10-15 minutes ago, so not the best of preparations for them this afternoon. But we just heard the highlights and the reaction from Castleford's win over St Helens yesterday.
Rich, put in there, mate, kickoff delayed, 3:10.
3:10, thank you very much.
Well, I can vouch for that, because me not being a local Leeds boy, I did know there was the running on this morning, but unfortunately my sat-nav doesn't know that there was running on. So I was following the sat-nav, as I do always, because every time I come to Leeds, it takes me a different way. And I bumped into the Barrow coach, and it was going a different way, and I thought, no, I'm not going that way, because I've been round that road 6 times already this morning. So we got here finally. But yeah, they've just arrived, so the kickoff's delayed for 10 minutes.
That's fair enough. It gives us more time to
put the worlds to rights.
Indeed. And Castleford versus St Helens yesterday. And before we get into the main gist of this whole thing, Castleford were very, very good yesterday, weren't they?
Yeah, I think I've watched all the games so far this weekend that have been on the TV. And, you know, Castleford, cagey first 10-15 minutes, but you know, to have the ability to score 3 back-to-back tries and a drop goal, it just obviously took the game away from St Helens. And you know, however poor, you know, other teams are, you know, you can only play what's in front of you, and Saints are struggling a bit. It was interesting to hear John Wilkins quotes at the end of the game that in his 15 year career at Saints, this is by far the lowest point of that career. And you know, and they know they've got a lot of work to do when the new coach comes in. But you know, for me, let's forget about them. Let's heap praise on how good Castleford are playing, and it's a privilege to watch. And you know, brilliant, brilliant rugby league, and Darrell Powell's done an amazing job there of turning it round. And they are the team in form. They are the team to watch. And you know, they're back to the best. I think, let's hope Zach Hardacre's okay. Obviously, he got that bad knock. It doesn't seem as bad according to Twitter and Darrell's comments on that interview there, that it's not as bad as what they first thought, because he's a pivotal part of what they do. You know, he's very, very good at the back. But, you know, when you've got wingers who've got the speed they have, the centres who are big and strong, you know, and the forwards just do the job that's asked of them. You know, and it's classic to watch. You know, really, really is. And Luke Gale pulling all the strings. He's playing at the top of his game.
Now, I winced when I saw the replay of Zach Hardacre's ankle. But they can bend a lot, ankles, without doing much damage. Whereas when I broke mine, it was just a nice complete mess. But hopefully Zach Hardacre's okay. And they're just showing the highlights now on the TV. Ben Roberts kicked to the corner for the Greg Minnickin try. It doesn't matter how bad your opponents are when you've got skills in the bank like that. And it was just a beautiful piece of rugby league. And that's what Castleford do.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, that's top draw rugby. That, you know, Scully would have been proud of that. He's back now, sat next to me. No, that was rugby league of the highest quality. And you know, no, it's not only the ability to do that, Rich, it's to have the thought process to even think about attempting it, you know, because you're making a break, you're looking round for support runners, you're thinking about the pass. There was an option of the pass on to Zach Hardacre. He weighed up that it wasn't right, he couldn't get that pass away. to kick it, but not only to kick it, but absolutely, if he'd have put that ball anywhere where he wanted it to be, he did that exactly, and Minikin just popped up into his hands, said thank you very much, and that was a really, really top quality rugby league try.
I know you two gents played in a similar position to Ben Roberts, but you would have loved to be a winger playing outside this Castlewood team at the moment, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't like to be a winger any time, Rich, if I'm being honest with you. But yeah, you know, it is a privilege, and they've both got bags of pace. You know, Eden, you know, there was lots of question marks of him. He's answered those by the tries he scored. Yes, he's still got mistakes in him, but, you know, my philosophy is if you make one mistake and score three tries, you know, you're still on the front foot. So I think they're both very good. I think Minikin is only going to get better, and I think, in my opinion, I don't know what Scowies is, but he's definitely a future international, whether that's in the centre as he develops a bit more or on the wing. I just think he's a very, very good rugby league player, and he's got amazing strength and great pace as well. And, you know, Cass are a privilege to watch, but, you know, and still a but, Rich, at this moment in time, there's no silverware in anybody's cabinets at the minute, is there? So, you know, yes, they're favourites to win something this year, but there's still a lot of rugby league to be played before these trophies get handed out.
Well, Scott, have you got bored of giving lots of praise to Castlewood yet?
Oh, no way. To be honest with you, Rich, I never saw the game yesterday because the late Dave Topless, it was his wife's 70th yesterday, so I had to pop there, and then we had a reunion for the Barla squad in 83 over at Warrington, so I didn't see the game, but the reports, what I've heard, it's just Castleford and what they're all about in 2017 and the process, and what Dallow's been there over the last 3 years, and everything now seems to be just falling into place, and they're just an absolute pleasure to watch. And I say everybody's second team is Castleford Tigers, but everybody's got to agree, whether you want Super League, Championship, or Division One, the way they are playing, and realistically, you know, everybody should copy it, because we'll be for sure they are a pleasure to watch and a delight to watch.
Well, we touched briefly on John Wilkins' comments after the game. You know, it's the lowest point in his time at St Helens. And, you know, obviously they've not had the best of seasons so far, hence why they've got rid of their coach and got the new one heading in shortly. But there seems to be, perhaps, and this is a point I've been trying to make for a while now, there seems to be a reticence within those watching from the sidelines, watching on at St Helens and elsewhere, and this is a thing across sport as well. You look at Wayne Rooney, who's obviously one of the most talented footballers of his generation from this country. But as he's got older, he's lost what little bit of pace he had. He's, you know, his skills aren't quite as sharp. And it's different for every player, isn't it? Some players continue at a high level as they get older. Some don't. And perhaps there's a lack of acknowledgement at St Helens that some of their great players over the past few years have lost that ability, and or lost some of that ability, and aren't quite playing at the level they were. And the players around them certainly aren't up to it either, and I guess the problem for Saints is an ageing squad plus bad recruitment in the off-season.
Well, I tell you what, Rich, right, I tell you what, I've been saying this about these St Helens players, right, for all season. They talk the talk, but they're not walking the walk, right? They've got what they wanted. They weren't happy the way that Kieran Cunningham wanted to play. They're boring inside rugby league, what we've seen, so Kieran's got the sack from the players. Do you know what? Them players are feeling sorry for themselves. Them players are doing the blame game. They want to blame everybody, but everybody except themselves as individuals and as a team collectively. And with John Wilkins' comments yesterday saying, we're lacking self-belief, we're lacking confidence. Hold on here. Hold on. Craig Monica will tell you, and I'll definitely tell you, when I was a player, I didn't need a coach to give me self-belief or confidence. It was all about, I'm a professional rugby league player, I'm going to go out there and do my best week in and week out. And if we get beaten by a better team on the day, okay, that's what happens. But boy, oh boy, don't be blaming the blame game. And that's exactly what these St Helens players are doing. Stop feeling sorry for yourselves and start performing. Simple as that.
And I know it was a big scoreline yesterday, but they lost to a team who, as we pointed out earlier, they've scored 50 points against Wigan, they've scored 50 points against Leeds. They've beaten almost everyone in front of them, bar, Saints early in the season in Salford. It's not as if yesterday they lost to a rubbish team by 50 points, is it? They lost to the best team currently in the competition.
See, also as well, Rich, right, and I said it on the radio show on Monday night, you know, Castleford, St Helens season at Castleford on Saturday is coming to an end. It's coming to an end, right? Do the St Helens players not know that? Do they not know that the way they are playing, they're going to get nowhere near the top four? the biggest cup competition in the world of rugby league, the Challenge Cup, was there for them on Saturday, and how pathetic they played. Okay, yeah, Casper were outstanding, but surely a bit more effort and more commitment and more desire from the St. Helens players as a team and as individuals would not see the scoreline like that. You know, so do St. Helens not really know that this season is not a blame game? They've got to take responsibility. It's as simple as that.
I agree with what you're saying, Scully, as well, but I think as well, as you know, yes, you're a professional player, and yes, you know, you have highs and lows in your career, but, you know, we're not saying it's a blame game, but you've got to look at Saints' squad on paper, and in my opinion, I'm sure, I don't know what your opinion is, but we look at these great Saints teams of years gone by, and this squad that they've got, whether they're spending the cap or not, I assume that they are, you've got to look down it and say, it doesn't look like great to me, in my opinion.
Yeah, but Craig, also as well, you look at all the other squads in Super League, they're not as great as what they have been in years anyway.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
So I agree with that.
That's not the opposition as well. They haven't got the great players of what the Leeds have had and what the Hulls have had and all this sort of thing, and even the Castlemen. But, you know, so I don't buy into that. And also as well, let's have a look here now. This Australian coach who is coming in, right, what's he going to do with that St. Helens side? It's just an all reshuffle. No, the season's finished. What's he going to bring?
My point is the fact that, you know, you see St. Helens in a game, and people of my generation and your generation,
correct,
just expect Saints to be great.
I agree.
And my point is they're not. You know, and Saints fans, and, you know, it's like any big club, Leeds, Wigan, Saints, Warrington, just expect that because that name's on the team sheet that they've got that God-given right to go out and win.
But this is what I've said about
the people,
Craig,
in that team aren't good enough.
But this is what I said about the St. Helens players. They've talked the talk but not walking the walk. If you don't go out there and perform, you've got to get your backside kicked, and that's exactly, and this is what I'm saying about them. They're feeling sorry for themselves just because St. Helens, the brand and the history of that great club, doesn't give them any damn right,
yeah,
to roll over rugby league teams, does it?
No, but that's what I'm saying. Everybody in that bubble,
yeah,
thinks it does.
Yeah. Well, they need to change their attitude very, very quickly, because I tell you what, they will get drawn into that bottom four, as we've seen that the way that Warrington are going. You know, they're going to climb away from there. They play Wigan next week, and St. Helens, they'll get hammered at the Magic by the Black and Whites the way they're going as well. So St. Helens next week can find themselves in the bottom four, so they better stop sulking and they better realise they are paid to be professional rugby league players, and quite simply to start performing.
And I see, sorry Rich, one final point. I think bringing a coach in from the outside is the exact right thing to do, personally, because of that topic we've just been talking about. Everybody in that bubble is looking round and saying the same things. Well, this is Saints, what's going on? This guy's coming in from overseas with a completely blank piece of paper, and he'll have a look. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it does remind me a lot of when Wigan brought in Maguire, when they were at that real low ebb, and he changed the full club around. Now, Michael Maguire was not known to many people when he came to Wigan. You know, certainly people in the game, I've never heard of this coach, Scully. Have you heard of this guy they brought in?
No.
Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad, but it will be a completely fresh outlook on how Saints are going to do things. Whether it'll work, only time will tell.
I'll tell you what, though, why don't they sling Paul Wellens in there? Because, remember, was it 2 or 3 years ago at the Magic Weekend when St. Helens absolutely got battered, and Paul Wellens did that great interview on television by saying, this is not good enough. This is not good enough for St. Helens, and then the kicks off from there. Let Paul Wellens get in there. Let Paul Wellens be the motivator for St. Helens. Because I'll tell you what I'm thinking on doing. I'm sending a photograph to him and Matt Manners. Me as a Mr. Motivator, let me to that St. Helens dressing room. I'll rip in it. And the first thing I'll say to him, Craig Murdoch, will be quite simple. You lot at this moment in time are rubbish. Now answer me that question. This is what I would be saying to the players, not to you, Craig. I'd be saying to the players, right then, you lot, at this moment in time, you're absolutely rubbish. Now, come back to me on that, because they wouldn't be able to, would they?
Well, did you watch the game yesterday, Rich?
I did, yes.
Well, there was an actual point behind the sticks where Paul Wellens did rip into the boys. Obviously, we didn't hear what he's saying,
yeah,
but he's there and he give it to them. So, you know, Paul Wellens is, you know, he's again...
It's same challenge for him and through.
He's a fantastic player, but he's been in that bubble like Kieran Cunningham his whole life.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I just
yeah.
think this is the right moment to bring someone in from outside to have a fresh look, and let's say maybe what we have been doing for the last couple of years isn't exactly what we need to do. Time will tell, Rich.
Well, I guess this is a problem with how small, in a sense, our sport is, isn't it? Because
for Kieran Cunningham, where does he go next? Paul Wellens, Sean Long, whatever. If they need to go away out of St Helens to come back in the future, to go return to the bubble, well, but there's no really place for them.
But it's been announced they're all staying. They're all staying there now, aren't they? You know, so if Justin Oldsbrook is saying to these, you know, saying to Longy and Wellens and the other guy who's the assistant, I can't pronounce his
surname. Jamal Luisi,
you know, they're there, you know, so he's going to be asking from their input. Obviously, him and McManus are going to be a bit of input, so will Mike Rush, and from there, and I think Skullfops are around from there, you know, so they'll only be saying exactly what Craig Murdoch has been saying about the history of the club. Because one thing what St Helens want to do, they want to turn it around where they're playing a smart, attractive rugby league, but boy, oh boy, the players what they have got at this moment in time, they are going in the bottom four. Simple
as
that.
Do you know what? You just said a really good point there as well, Rich, about the people like Kieran Cunningham, the likes of Paul Wellens and Sean Long. Now, if there ever is any proof in the pudding, just look at what happened to Darryl. You know, Darryl was here, didn't work out. He had to take a step back to go, and that's not disrespecting to Featherstone, but he went back there and he's turned his whole coaching career around, and now everybody in the game, and rightly so, and I'm saying it again, and rightly so, is putting all the plaudits on Darryl Powell's back and giving him big high fives and slaps on the back because he's done a great job. But he had to take a step back to do that. Now, whether Kieran, Paul Wellens, Sean Long will do that, I don't know.
And I don't want to kick even more Saints fans while they're down and such. But,
hey, Rich, we're not kicking St Helens fans here, because I tell you what,
they'll be kicking the team a lot harder than what we are.
They will, exactly, Rich. You know, them St Helens fans, they will be absolutely disgusted, not just with the performances, but the attitude. And when they're getting a comment like that from the captain in John Wilkin, saying we're lacking self-belief and we're lacking confidence. Boy, oh boy, dry your eyes, will you, sunshine? Get out there and do the job what you're supposed to be doing.
I think what we've pretty much said is the Saints squad isn't good enough to challenge for honours at this point in time. And I made this point yesterday, and maybe it's my red, white and blue tinted glasses, but there aren't too many players in that Saints squad at the moment. There's a handful, admittedly, yes, but you wouldn't fill a Wakefield 17 full of Saints players at the moment, would you? Because for whatever reason, whether the Wakefield players are just working harder or whatever, they've got more confidence about them, they're playing a lot better than St Helens at the moment.
Well,
so it seems unfair.
I've just thought of that, Rich, as you said it. There's no pre, you know, you've not told me what you're going to say here, and just off the top of my head, I'd probably take Roby and that'll be it. Yeah. I can't see any other player I would have in front of a Wakefield player.
But even Alex Walmsley, you know, he's played well. You can't really say the Wakefield pack deserves to be left out. Okay. Not saying Alex Walmsley's a bad player, of course. We all agreed last week he should have been standing for England, but it's not as if Wakefield...
Well, Craig Hubie's had a great season, exactly, hasn't he? You know, Fifita has had some really big moments in this season. Yeah, Walmsley's been top draw, you know, for St Helens most of the games. Didn't really have an impact in yesterday's game. But, you know, Wakefield have had a really, really good season, and you know, the games Wakefield have lost have been by 2 and 3, 4 points, haven't they? So I agree with you, Rich. And as I said, you know, Roby, and I can't think of many more.
Well, I think as well, when you mentioned the yeah, Roby, you would say Walmsley, Percival and Makinson, I would say, yeah. But the rest, boy oh boy, they're just simply not good enough. And they're sulking. That's what they're doing. They're sulking. They're feeling sorry for themselves. They're doing the blame game. No, not good enough. Simply not good enough for a club like St Helens.
You know, and I understand that across the board, recruitment from overseas is nowhere near what it was 10, 15 years ago, or even 5 years
but
ago.
But it's the same across the board in Super League everywhere, Craig.
But my next point, Scoey, is that Saints overseas recruitment seems even a step down on that. You know, Ryan Morgan...
I'm 51 years of age. I'm 52 in July. I can run quicker than him.
Well, that's from Scoey. And I would struggle to disagree with that. As I said, he's... You know, maybe, and again, we don't know the ins and outs, but he hasn't settled at Saints. And obviously, he's a better player than what he's shown at the moment. But we can only judge him on what we see this season. And what we've seen this season, you know, we looked yesterday where if you're an under-11s coach and he jumps the line and misses the interception and they're walking behind him, you're going crazy at him. Now, that's a top-draw centre who you've brought in from overseas on big money. Then you've got to be scratching your head and saying, you know, what's going on?
I think my frustration as a viewer stroke listener is that there seems to be a lack of willingness for people to say St Helens aren't as good as they used to be. Other teams have overtaken them, and it's almost like they still think Saints are the team they were 5-10 years ago without admitting that they have regressed.
And that's my point that I've been getting at, Rich. It's that bubble where everybody thinks, oh, it's St Helens. Now, regardless, it's like when you were a kid, and you know, obviously Scoey was a legend of the game, and never really played any Alliance rugby, was straight into the first team. I remember coming to a place like Leeds, even from Wigan, sat on the bus on a Thursday night driving to Leeds, and you were thinking, oh God, we're going to Leeds today, it's going to be tough. And then you'd look on the team sheet and it would be Mike O'Neill or someone like that, you know, a real big name of years gone by, and you'd think, oh my God, you know, he's playing tonight, we're in big trouble here. And that's what you are when you're St. Helens. Everybody thinks, oh, it's Saints, we're in trouble here today, we're playing Saints, they've got, you know, they're a great side. They're not anymore. And that is it, they're not anymore.
If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
A start in League One, Hemel 24, Doncaster 50, Oxford 22, Hunslet 22, Workington 56, South Wales 0, York 64, Coventry 12, and in the Challenge Cup, Swinton 12, Wigan 42. Our friend Bill Coe says the scoreline probably flattered Wigan slightly in that one, or certainly which Swinton probably deserved more points. Warrington 34, Widnes 20, second half was much better over that one. And of course, now our Coventry game, it finished Leeds 72. Barrow 10. At RL on our Y, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, joining the debates on Facebook, plenty of you enjoying the commentary this afternoon, and we will bring you the draw as soon as it happens. In fact, let's head back to Headingley because Scully's still there, and I think it's fair to say, Scully, listening to the commentary, as you said plenty of times out there, it wasn't a lack of effort from Barrow or lack of whatever. Just Leeds by far the better team, as you'd expect them to be, and got the job done professionally.
Yeah, they did, and they say it was all about the attitude, the professionals in Leeds, and yeah, they did it very, very well, and they were smart. So no, nothing from, and I say we battled from a point of view with the effort and the commitment and desire, but it's just at the end of the day, hold your hands up. And I say the Super League club against the a Division One side, they're too big, too strong, too classy. But nothing wrong with the enthusiasm and commitment from the Barrow players. Just being totally outclassed, and you've got to say give the Rhinos the respect what they gave Barrow here today. And I say the job well done. 72-10 just tells you that yeah, it's all been one sided. Yeah, okay, it may have been, but Barrow, they had the moments, but at the end of the day, just quality performance from Leeds as a team, as Craig Murdoch said in commentary. Really, yeah, Joel Moon scored a hat-trick. There were doubles, you know, for Ash Hanley and Parcell, and also to Robbie Burrow when he came on there. Danny Maguire, good organisation. But overall, from 1 to 17, Leeds' attitude was what it should have been against opposition like Barrow, and they've got the job done.
And obviously, to take nothing away from their opponents in the next 2 weeks, but let's hope Barrow have a good performance away at Toronto next week, and then, of course, at Blackpool and get some silverware for their supporters.
Absolutely, and I say there've been many numbers here from Barrow here, and they're still all here now, and all the Barrow players have been over to the supporters and are wanting all the photographs from there. And yeah, it's been a great turnout from Barrow, so yeah, give credit to all them. Decent crowd of 5,200 for this Challenge Cup fixture, so they'll go home with a nice little bit of a check going back up the M6 from there. So it's been a great day out, not just for the Barrow club and the players, but also to the supporters.
Well, the draw's about to be made, so I'll let you know who's got who as it happens. I think Yestin Harris is drawing one of the teams. I think Mickey Hyams doing the other. So we shall see what happens. But obviously a nice spread of Yorkshire sides in this round. Cass, Wakefield, Featherstone, Leeds and Hull. It's not after last year was dominated by our friends across the Pennines, certainly in Super League. It's nice that there's plenty of Yorkshire representation in this draw for the Challenge Cup, of course, including the holders Hull. And here is the draw. Harris is drawing the home sides. I think Wakefield will fancy a home side. Last ever Challenge Cup tie at Bellevue. And the first team out of the hat is number 8, Warrington Wolves. So Warrington Wolves will be at home in the quarterfinals. And they will take on, as Mickey Hyam sticks his hand in the drum, number 7, Wigan. Warrington versus Wigan in the quarterfinals. That's tasty.
Very tasty, very tasty.
That's another lot of them Lancastrians out, so that's good.
Featherstone want a nice home draw.
We just want to get to Wembley again. I love that Saturday afternoon in August. Right, yeah. Here's who's out next. Home tie for number 6, Leeds Rhinos. And Leeds will take on
We don't want Hull or Cass. No, Featherstone, please.
Featherstone Rovers.
Hey, that'll do for the Scowie.
How many times were you talking about that interception try in that one? Next up, Salford are at home, and they will take on number 2, Wakefield. I will take that.
Hull and Cass.
Yeah. Hull and Cass.
Home draws vital for that, Scoy.
And it is Hull at home.
What a tasty one that is, eh? What a tasty one.
What do you make of that then?
Very, very tasty. And well, at this moment in time, both teams are in quality form, aren't they? And I say, with a home fixture, very, very tasty. It's a great Challenge Cup draw, isn't it?
Obviously, four tasty times then.
Obviously, Leeds will be delighted, certainly, with a quarter final draw. Ferguson from there, but some quality. Quarter finals.
Hull Cass the pick, isn't it?
Hull Cass, without a doubt. It is indeed.
Going to be interesting. That's the 17th and 18th of June, those quarterfinals. I think they're all on TV, so we'll find out in due course who will be playing who and when shortly. But Wynton Wigan, Leeds Featherstone, Salford Wakefield, and Hull versus Castleford, the quarterfinal draw for the Challenge Cup. Get your thoughts in on those games. Obviously, a good win for Warrington today over Widnes, but they're another team who've been hit by injuries, and they're going to the Magic weekend against Wakefield, having had 2 days less rest. And I think Patrick Arvan went off injured in the game again today, so it doesn't get any easier for Widnes, does it?
No, it doesn't. And you know, that's the case when you've got a smaller squad, and you know, you're fighting on all fronts. You know, that's what happens. But it is what it is, and you know, Warrington were starting to find a little bit of form, or certainly playing better than they started the season. You know, they're going to get better, and they'll fancy their chances as well, you know, of getting to Wembley. Yes, it's a big game against Wigan, but they're at home, and you know, they'll still fancy their chances of getting a victory there.
Are you looking forward to the Magic weekend, Greg? What do you make of the whole concept?
Look, I think it's a great concept. I think, you know, I think again, a lot of other sports, jealousy is probably the wrong word, but you know, would love to be able to do what rugby league does and take all the games of one weekend to one stadium, you know, practically fill it, fans of all clubs mixing well, you know, touch wood, very little trouble, you know, in a great city like Newcastle. Brilliant concept for me, and you know, thoroughly looking forward to next week's Magic weekend. You know, as you say, four games live on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, I think it's great, Richard. I say the city itself, you know, the Newcastle people, they just buy into it all. All they want to do is just, you know, invite all the rugby league people up there, come and enjoy yourself, enjoy our city. St James's Park is the ideal venue. Yeah, I absolutely think it's great.
Yeah, and hopefully the weather's nice. It's not. It's forecast to be a bit wet tomorrow for the launch event up there, but hopefully by the weekend the sun will be out. I know there's still a bit of football to be played, but hopefully a lot of people might turn their TVs over and watch some good games. And, you know, the fixtures look interesting this weekend, don't they? Obviously, we've got Widnes, Wakefield and Hull Saints on the Saturday. Catalans, Huddersfield and Castleford Leeds on the Sunday. I mean, that Castleford Leeds game is mouth-watering, isn't it? Because obviously a lot of things have changed, as we heard from Michael Shenton earlier, since that game at the Jungle at the start of the season.
No, it has, and I say, and for mine, it's a revenge game, isn't it? You know, because Leeds were just totally embarrassed what happened down at Weldon Road, what we're looking at now, 9 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, Howie, and as I say, and I just wonder if the words from Brian McDermott after the interview after that game, when he said, "I wouldn't expect my under-19s to concede the points from there." So yeah, Leeds were hurt by that performance, and as I say, since then they've got themselves back on track. They're a totally different side, so I would imagine it'll be a nice, cool, cold attitude for the Leeds players, because they haven't forgot what happened down there, what, 9 or 10 weeks ago.
No, it should be a superb weekend. Just looking back on the ties this weekend, Featherstone beating Halifax on Thursday night, and you know, we said now they get a tie against Leeds. That should be Leeds have had a kind draw so far in this competition, haven't they? But
now Richie, being a Wakefield fan, come on, Richie.
But you know that Featherstone will go there like Doncaster, like Barrow, but obviously a higher quality side, and want to cause some bother for Leeds, won't they?
Oh, without a doubt, you know, and obviously there's a dual ridge partnership between those two sides as well. So, you know, you've got to say, look, the draw is what it is. Oh, you know, yeah. you can't get anything out of it. If you get a home draw, you're lucky. And you know, Leeds, as you say, on the front of it, have had a couple of decent draws, but you'd expect Leeds to be in the semi-finals. Featherstone are going to come here exactly the same as what the team of Barrow have today. Nothing to lose. Nobody expects anything of them, but I've seen Featherstone a few times this season. It will be a lot tougher game than this, but one you'd expect still Leeds Rhinos to progress and get through to the semi-final.
And then we look at the other ties from this weekend, and a good win for Wakefield on Friday, Gary. I know it was the scoreline was comfortable in the end, but they still had to go there on a smaller pitch than perhaps they used to.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, and again, exactly what McDermott here has done at Leeds, and I say gave Barrow respect, and so did Chris Chester. You know, named a very, very strong side. Okay, left a couple of players out, but then players who came in for Wakefield, they're first team players week in and week out. They want to impress Chris Chester, yeah, and they went there with the right attitude and the respect what they gave Dewsbury. They got the job done in the first half from there, but they played for the full 80 minutes. For mine, I think Liam Finn's been absolutely outstanding. I think he's been Wakefield's best player all season from there. His organisation, his kicking, and also to his goal kicking, I think it was nine from nine. But I'd say Leeds and Wakefield, the opposition, what they played again, right attitude, gave the opposition the respect what deserves, and got the result what they wanted.
I think Wakefield can go there and win as well. I think, no, look, well, it's going to be tough.
I'll tell you, the way Wakefield are playing, they're like imitating Cass Hartley at times, the way they're playing some very smart, attractive football. They've got that consistency in the play now, what wasn't there at the start of the season. Oh, they won't go to Salford, thinking that, they won't get to the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup, that is for sure.
No, indeed, and obviously Salford beat Hull KO on Friday. A close game, obviously Rovers leading at half time, and some nice plays from the scrum as well, which was nice to see something different.
Yeah, it was, but also as well, I think the difference what we're seeing here, Rich, if that had been Salford last year or the year before, then it would have been see you later. But now with the players, with the attitude what they've got, and I say you're playing for the club and also to the coach from there, if that attitude from last year, then Hull KO would have been in the quarterfinals. But no, there's a different mentality there at Salford for now, and I say they want to go as far as possible, and yeah, they've got the home draw what they want. It'd be interesting what the crowd would be, but one thing for sure, Wakefield will take plenty, because they'll fancy themselves getting through to the Ladbrokes semi-final for the first time, what, in many, many years. You'll be at time as a Wakefield fan, Rich.
Well, last year, you remember?
Oh yeah, they did. but it's not a performance that we want to remember, no, is it, to be honest with you?
I can't remember the last time it was back-to-back semi-finals. That
I guess I should say it's not a semi-final the Wakefield fans just want to remember, is it? They'll be fancying again this time, because, as I say, they're playing some quality rugby league, and they're playing some attractive rugby league. They are.
And four tries from Mason Cainton Brown, he's slotted nicely into the squad, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. He gets an opportunity, and when he puts the burners down, there's not too many who could catch him, to be honest with you. He was unlucky not to get five tries. It was a great chase back by the Dewsbury winger from there. Just a nice little ankle tap from there. But, once he puts the burners down, there's not too many who could catch him.
Indeed, there are not. Hull FC, 62-0 over Cathmans, and they had 11 players out, the Dragons, but still, that's... That's some scoreline, isn't it?
Pretty impressive. It is. And I say, the French coach in Fresie, you say men against boys, are quite clear in there. But Radders, he's been... The response he's had from his players, Rich, from when they got beat by 50... They got 50 points against Salford, 50 points against Leeds over that period. But since then, the response what he's had from his players... And I can remember when they got beat by Leeds, and he was in the press room, and he wanted, and there wasn't played in until the Easter Monday, he wanted his players to get out there now that Friday night to play Lee. He wanted a response from his players, and what Radders has got here now, he has got the response from his players, and since then they've been sensational. And to get 62 points against anybody, to be honest with you, opposition, never mind, I know Leeds have done it against Barrow, and Wakefield did it against Dewsbury, but to do that against the Super League side, I couldn't care less if they've got injuries. They've still got 17 bodies out there. Yeah, that's a great result for Hull.
Well, that's the thing, is that it's getting that done and keeping that performance level up to score that many points. These players, I know they may be young or whatever, but they're obviously fancied to do a job at some point for this side.
Oh, without a doubt. And I say it's... And I would imagine it's, for playing and hold, the attitude was, we'll go for the full 80 minutes, and if we can get 60, we'll get 60. And that's exactly what they did.
Obviously, Wigan through today, another team hit by injuries, winning away at Swinton. And Warrington beating Widnes. We talk about Catalans, actually. Huddersfield, obviously, they play next Sunday lunchtime. Had the week off. I guess we saw Huddersfield last week against Castleford. They should have won that game were it not for Danny Brough's brain freeze towards the end of it. But they'll fancy their chances next Sunday, won't they, against a very much depleted Catalans.
Oh, yeah, they will. And I'd say it's... You know, they've had the week off. Rick Stone and get some bodies back, and some players who may be carrying niggling injuries. So yeah, the Giants, they've got to go there as favourites, and I say there's no confidence in that Catalan side from there. So you'd expect the Giants to get the 2 points. It's an interesting one. If the Giants don't beat the Catalans, well, they are in big trouble, aren't they?
Yes, it's safe to say that. I don't witness losing out on players today. St Helens, we spoke about earlier, obviously, against the Hull side, who are in top gear now. It's going to be a fascinating weekend at Newcastle next week. Hopefully lots of, not just people watching on telly, but lots of neutrals who are in the local area pick up tickets and come and watch, because there's some great games.
There's some great games. And also as well, Rich, if Warrington play Wigan, if Warrington beat Wigan then, and St Helens get beat or Catalans, either one of them sides drop into the bottom four. So that it is very, very interesting fixes. And as I say, the fix of the weekend is the revenge game for mine, the big Yorkshire one between Castle Leeds for what happened 10 weeks ago.
We're at that point now where, we are round 14, aren't we, of 23. And if Wakefield beat Widnes, they've got an even bigger gap now over the bottom. Warrington are coming back into things now. The league is nicely poised. I know we've got these top four who appear to be perhaps breaking away from Wigan at the moment. So you've got Cass on 20, Hull on 19, Salford and Leeds on 18, then Wigan on 15 points. But there's still plenty to play for, and you know, for Lee, who we haven't spoken about, and Widnes, they need to get some wins sharpish, and not just wins, I guess. It's putting back-to-back wins together now.
Well, they do, and they need to get, the word in sport is confidence, because, you know, Lee and Widnes, and I reckon Huddersfield are in there, and they're going to be, need the confidence for the Middle Eights, don't they? You know, for that competition, what they're going to be in. So, yeah, it's the next 10 games for them teams are very, very important from a point of view where they're getting form and they're getting confidence ready for that battle, to be honest with you.
Yeah, indeed. I'm enjoying this season. I know people say the quality is perhaps not there, that the quality of players isn't there as much as it has, but at least there's a lot of games where you aren't quite sure who's going to win when we go into them. I guess that's a positive byproduct of it.
Well, Rich, the league table tells you that, doesn't it? Who would have thought Casford would have been at the top? Who would have thought Salford would have been in the top three? We all know what happened to Leeds last year. You know, so when you look at the league positions, Wigan are in fifth, St Helens are struggling, maybe they could go into the bottom four, Warrington are still into the bottom four. So, yeah, it's exactly as you're calling it from there. Hull are in outstanding form. So when you look at that league table, you say, yeah, it is a very, very interesting season, because the ones we expected to be up there, they're not there.
No, it has been an interesting one. You've seen the news in the Hull Daily Mail reporting that Glenn Morrison could be joining Hull KR's backroom staff.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Because I was watching the Salford game on the telly, flicking between that and Toronto and Newcastle. And James Webster sat there, and Tim Sheens is there. Building a nice... It's going to have more coaches than players.
Well, see, how many coaches do they want? How many coaches do you need?
Sure. Well, I'm not sure. Well, they've got the current World Cup winning coach there. It's interesting times at Hull KR. I mean, they put a good performance together against Salford on Friday, but I guess for them, the test will come in a couple of months' time when we're in that middle eight.
Yeah, it will. That's a test. And Marco was down from okay, yeah, they beat Lee in the last with the Challenge Cup, but then I say, yeah, and Marco then with Salford. So yeah, they're just building. They know that they're looking at me and be bringing a bit more quality from this, but that's what they're building for, Richie. Yeah, they don't want to be in the £1 million game, okay? They want to qualify straight away without putting the added pressure on, because we all know what happened last year, don't we? We all know what happened last year.
We do indeed. Hey, Gemma Carter tweeted on Friday she was concerned when they went 12-0 down Salford, and I was saying, don't worry about it. So we know what happens. They'll win it in the last 2 minutes, and they had a bit more time to win it this time. But it's good to see different teams up there at the top of the table. We just got to hope, having seen that quarter-final draw, we spoke earlier about Castleford. They're great, they're top of the table. They haven't won anything yet, and neither have Salford, and it would be good to see new names on trophies. I know two of the top four of your former sides go, but it would be nice to see different teams win stuff.
Oh yeah, it would. And as I say, and people keep saying, well, if Cass gets some injuries, I self will get injuries, but if they don't get injuries, they're going to keep going in what they're doing, you know. And the way that both teams are coached, the style of play, what they're playing, it's a breath of fresh air. And so yeah, one thing for sure here, Castleford Tigers are the real deal. It's as simple as that.
I saw an interesting comment earlier that described Cass as playing a bit like Leeds a couple of years ago, not in terms of necessarily the style in terms of the way they attack, but just well, your favourite phrase, game management, in terms of a couple of times yesterday Luke Gayle was kicking the ball into touch just to run the clock down. You remember that final at Wembley a couple of years ago? Kevin Sinfield kicked Castleford to death in that game, didn't he? And it's almost as if they're improving, but they're also learning from what's happened in the past from teams who were where they are now.
Well, it's all, Richie, that sort of play, what you've seen from Luke Gayle, and as you mentioned, Sinfield, it's all about being smart, and that's exactly what they are doing. Everything what they are doing, they're being smart in what they're looking for. They're not trying to score on every set of six, but I'll tell you what, when they want to turn the tap on, and when that tap is on, it is very, very hot. And as I say, they know they can break any defence down. Everybody knows the roles as individuals. They know as a team collectively what they're supposed to be doing. But what Castleford are, they are very smart in what they do.
They are very smart in what they do. We'll let you go and enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, Scott. You'll be back with us tomorrow. But the all-important question, ask this every week. What's in the column tomorrow?
Tomorrow, it's all the fixes, what are the magic weekend, and my predictions tomorrow, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting read, and one thing for sure, said Talents fans, you won't be happy, because you won't be enjoying the magic weekend when Hull beat you by 30 points. That's my prediction for this week, Richie. I'll see you tomorrow.
It's all right, the Saints fans aren't bothered about you, they all hate everything about you. We've got those fans who tweet us every Monday, they hate everything going on at the club, it's not you, so for once, I think you get away with this one because, you know, you're probably going to be right as well.
Well, I would imagine we'll be ripping it tomorrow night, Richie. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, we will be. Gary, thank you very much as ever, and we shall see you tomorrow night.
You will indeed. Cheers, Rich.
Gary Scaffrey there live from Headingley. Thanks to him and to Craig Murdoch for that full match commentary on Barrow versus Leeds. You can check out the highlights on the website, radioyorkshire.co.uk. And, of course, join us every Monday night from 6 as we look back on the rugby league weekend at 2 hours of rugby league on Radio Yorkshire.
Want your say on all things rugby league? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. Opinions welcome, but be prepared to fight your corner.